All right, we're going to look at the whole area of faith today. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11 primarily, but let's have a word of prayer, and after you can copy down the memory verses and all that, okay? Let's have a word of prayer as we start. Father, we thank you for everyone who is here. We thank you that we can come into your house on a Sunday morning. Lord, you have arranged this time so that we can come. And I pray, Lord, that we will keep ourselves faithful to it. Lord, because every Sunday at 10, you'll be here to minister, to teach, as you are omnipresent everywhere. Father, we thank you for you being in different churches who love you and want your word. And Father, even in churches that are shaky, yet you still love them, you're there. But Lord, we thank you that you are with us most of all. So Father, I pray in this whole area of faith that you teach us to understand what faith is, especially the living aspect of faith. Help us, Lord, to come to the place of genuine living faith in you. Lord, help us not just to trust you for salvation and then leave the rest to our own life and our own thoughts. I pray today you teach us from Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, and how many of your people, Lord, live by faith and their lives were exemplary. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you encourage us, challenge us to not live by the things that we see or feel or even think, but Lord, to go by what you say. Oh, thank you, Lord. For those who are on their way, I know they are wanting to hurry. I pray you'll bring them quickly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, we'll be spending a lot of time there. Hebrews 11 is an important passage in the Bible with regards to faith. Right? In the Bible, there are some passages that is glaring, okay, about certain topics. For example, charity. Which passage in the Bible talks about charity? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, which chapter in the Bible talks about the resurrection? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, which chapter in the Bible talks about the second coming of Christ? How many chapters are there? There are quite a number. Okay, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. So there are certain passages you go to, you know that there is what it's talking about. So here, faith is a big thing in the Bible. Faith is how we are saved by. And there are various aspects of faith. I want to just make a distinction between saving faith and living faith. Saving faith and living faith. Okay? Saving faith comes when we put our faith in Christ for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's saving faith. Okay? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Okay, that has to be faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's saving faith. Okay? Can? That's saving faith. We can't live by saving faith. Saving faith, that's what it does. It saves. Okay? But when we become Christians, the daily walk requires living faith. A faith that says early in the morning, I thank God for today. Based on what do you thank God? All right? When you go through a trial and you say, I'm trusting God to take me through. Based on what? That needs living faith. Does that make sense? There needs to be a saving faith. But you know, after we've trusted Christ, the saving faith, it has to be genuine. What does saving faith require? What are the two elements of saving faith that is required? Okay, repentance from sin and faith in Christ. Okay, in order to have saving faith. Genuine salvation is repentance from sin. And this is so important. In the last days, you will find people wanting this part, just believe in Christ and everything will be fine. No, there needs to be a repentance from sin and believe in Christ. Okay, so saving faith. Then after that, we come into the Christian life. The Christian life, we don't live by what we think. We live by faith. We live by faith. Okay, and today, that's what we want to talk about in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read together. That's one of our memory verse. Okay, that's a very important memory verse. Hebrews 11 says, let's read that. Ready? 1, 2, begin. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We are talking about living faith. I'm not talking about saving faith. Because when you talk about life that pleases God, it requires faith. A life that pleases God requires faith. And Paul says, without faith, believing God, you cannot please Him at all. Zero opportunity. And this is important because as Singaporeans, or rather people living in Singapore, one of the things that we have been taught is, when I have all the facts, then I will believe. Isn't that true? We need all the facts, not God. God says, you need to believe in me first, then that's pleasing to me. You know the difference between that? The difference is, for our thinking in the secular society that we are in, we're always looking at things outside. We're always looking at events that happen. And so we say, okay, we need all the evidence before we can put our money there or faith there, right? But when it comes to God, it's different because it's the belief in a person. It's a belief and faith in a person, which is God, and not in any situation, all right? Does that make sense? For example, if I come to, let's say I go to Brother June or I go to anyone and say, prove to me that you're a faithful man. What do I need to do to prove to you I'm a faithful man? Whose criteria is that based on? My criteria, right? But if I come, Brother June, I trust you. And whatever he does, I trust him, which I do. Doesn't mean like I don't ask him questions, but I trust him as a person. Does it make sense? Because many so-called Christians say, I need to see God before I can trust him. That's not trust. That's not faith. Does that make sense? That's living by sight. God wants us to learn to trust him. That's why in Genesis 1 verse 1, don't have to turn, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth. We need faith in that. We need to believe that God created heavens and the earth. Alright? So, does that make sense? Any questions? Living faith. Okay, we're going to look at 8 lessons of living faith. Number 1, faith is essential. I will just be talk about that. The word... Okay. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. And the must is in the Greek, that's an imperative. That means you, when you come to God, you must believe that you cannot doubt that he is already there. You cannot doubt that he is the Almighty One. You cannot doubt that he answers prayer. You cannot doubt. So the Bible says, when you come to Christ, you must believe that he is and that he rewards you. Not only when you come to him, you believe him as a person, but you believe that he can actually provide that needs. That's what children do. Does when children run, well, can I have this? Please, pretty please. You know, they beg you to have, because they know that you can, and sometimes the children don't let you go until you give it to them, right? That's faith. That's actually faith, it's childlike faith. On what basis? Usually children come to adults to get things. It's on the basis of the fact that you're bigger than me, you probably have what I need, so I'm coming to you. Okay? But it's different when we pray as Christians. We come to God not sure whether he's going to give to us. That doesn't please him, all right? So faith is essential to come to God. Faith is the essential thing. It's very important. The word faith and belief actually is mentioned in the Bible over 700 times, all right? 700 times in the ministry of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus, remember the centurion? Jairus' daughter. Remember Jairus' daughter? Okay, not Jairus' daughter. Jairus' daughter was sick, and then after that, of course, the woman with the issue of blood came, and Jesus healed him, and after that, one of Jairus' servants came and said, why troubles the master? She's dead, you know. And Jesus saw the discouragement in Jairus, and what did Jesus tell him? Be not faithless, believe only, and she shall be well. Believe only. You see, faith is not... See, God knows when we are doubting, but you know what God says? Why are you looking at the situation? Why are you looking at the situation? You know, many people are afraid of look at situations. We need to lift our eyes and look at the God who is in control of the situations. And this is something that we really need to learn. Okay? Right? So faith is essential. A Christian life is to grow from faith to faith. All right? In other words, one situation to another, you grow in your living faith. Right? So firstly, faith in the Bible is essential. And faith on a daily basis is essential. Faith for your studies, faith for your future spouses, faith for your career, faith for the salvation of someone, faith. It's all about faith. When you live the Christian life, it is about faith. We look at situations, but we look at God. first. And then you say, okay, God, we have this situation. What can we do about it? Lord, I'm listening to you. And we trust God. And sometimes God asks us to do things which some seem to blow our minds. Okay? One good example. Remember when Israel went into the promised land? What's the first city they faced? Huh? The walls of Jericho. What did God ask them to do? Walk around, right? Why? Why? Some people say, no, they're using psychological warfare. Make them scared. Actually, for 600,000 people walking around the walls without doing anything, that can be quite intimidating. But you know what? There's one reason why God actually made the Israelites do that. You know why? The Israelites don't know how to fight. Think about that. For 40 years, they were in the wilderness. They had no battle experience. Think about that. And God wanted to show that if you ever want to conquer that city, it's not because of your own skill. It's because you trusted me. Does that make sense? And so on the seventh day, they listened to Joshua. On the seventh round, he shouted, and the walls of Jericho fell down. Okay? So sometimes, no, not sometimes, faith is essential for the Christian life. Next one, faith is based on God. So let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you cannot see. I preached that before, and the Lord really opened my eyes to the word substance. The Bible says faith is the foundation. The word substance means foundation. Sub means, you know, like submarine, under. Okay? Stands come from the word stationary at one point. Okay? So faith is the underlying, underground foundation of the things that we hope for. And then, as you study a little bit more, you realize the substance is not based... Well, what's the substance based on? Faith is a substance, a foundation of the things we hope for. What is the substance made of? When you look at concrete, there must be certain materials that you make it's made of, right? So what is the substance made of? Does that make sense? Faith is the foundation of the things hoped for. So what is the materials that the foundation is made of? The unchanging word of God. Okay? Does that make sense? Faith is the substance, the foundation of the things hoped for. And the substance is made in the foundation is made of the unchanging word of God. God cannot lie. That's why we can believe in it. All right? That's why we need to know the Word of God. And we need to rightly divide the Word of God. Okay? Faith is simply believing God's Word. Let me ask you a question. If I quote to you Philippians 4:19, what's Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory, right? Do you believe that? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Do you believe in that? Generally, Christians will nod their head. Okay? Because they know it here. But when the real situation happens, will they believe it when it actually happens in their heart and say, I'm at peace. I know God's in charge. That's faith. Okay? When we look at a situation and say, I know God says this, but how many times have we talked to people and say, but, you know, that's not faith. That is not faith. That's not living faith. You're still living by sight in the things you see. Okay? So, faith is simply believing God's word. For example, look at some of the examples there. Noah 11 verse 7, let me just read. Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah heard from God, there's going to be a flood. Build the ark. What did Noah do? If Noah is today studying at the National University of Singapore, he'll say, come, let's gather a committee, let's talk about this first, before we embark on this ark-building project. And oh God, you want me to build the ark the size of an aircraft carrier? Let's discuss this first. No, faith, it says, Lord, you said it. There's going to be a flood. I move with fear for you and for the situation and for my love of my people. I'm going to start to build the ark. And the Bible says here, by faith, Noah being warned of God, not seen as yet. How many of you believe in the second coming? If you honestly believe in the second coming, your life will change. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that 100% everything will change, but you know what? Your heart will always be, Lord, are you coming today? Okay, Lord, I've got someone who's not sick. I've got to reach out to that person first. Or Lord, you know, I've got to repent of this sin first. Lord, if I really believe in the second coming, a lot of people will be filled. There's one song, I think my wife will know, One Day Too Late. I never thought I'll see the day when you come to church to pray. I never, whatever, but it says, the last part says that, but you came one day too late because the people were raptured. The songs, you can Google the song. It's very meaningful. It's actually quite a fundamental song. We don't sing it because I can't find the score. Basically saying, you came to church one day too late. And this author was saying, I never realized the church can be filled to the brim. But the problem was it came one day too late. Because the rapture has already happened. If we honestly believe in the rapture, if we honestly believe in the second coming, our lives will change. Things that we important to us may not seem as important. No, that's faith. That's living faith. As Pastor Wan, the things I'm going to talk about is that we want our church to be ready for the second coming. We need to be ready for the second coming because we need to live by faith. If Jesus says he's coming, he's coming. You know, and all the things that are happening in the Middle East is not for fun. It's all signs. Is to remind us he's coming, okay? So, faith is simply believing God's word. Abraham 11 verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. A lot of people in modern day Singapore will say, Abraham, you are so stupid. God never even tell you where to go. You just pack up everything and leave. No, to us as Christians who see God, so that's faith. That's believing God. If God says, I'm going to take you to somewhere, you're going to be blessed. You know what? We can have all the arguments against God, but God says, in the Bible, it's taught to us, when Abraham heard that, he said, I'm just going. Okay, another one is actually Sarah, Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful. That means she decided. The word judge means she's decided and made a conclusion. God is faithful. He will keep his word. I may not know how it's going to happen, but I know God is going to keep his word. Therefore, I'm trusting him. Biblical faith is not blind. It has evidence and substance. And it's God's word itself, okay? Biblical faith does not come by miracles and things that you can see. Especially for younger. Maybe I do believe one thing. If you're younger in faith, God may give you some things that you can actually see to encourage your faith. But you know what? It comes a time, older Christians in the faith, can I say this? For the younger Christians, sometimes God may give you quick answers to prayer to encourage you. But when you get to a place of maturing, or rather you're older in the faith, God doesn't treat you as young anymore. In other words, sometimes God will, I wouldn't say withhold, but God will actually delay certain things or put you through harder tests so that you can grow in the faith. Does it make sense? Asher, why is 2 times 2? 4, right? Okay? God may give you, let's say Asher is primary 1, okay? So 2 times 2 is quite hard maybe, right? God's not give Brother Joshua called 2 times 2. That will be insulting his intelligence. Right? Sister Allison doing computer right now. Initially, it may be Cinder press. But you know what? If I ask her at her university status, do the press, they'll be insulting her intelligence. God's going to give you something more to build your faith. Okay? And so the belief is important, and we need to learn that faith is based solely on God's word. That means the Bible is essential for your Bible living. You need to know. Faith is based on God's word. Okay, the Bible says Romans 10:17. What does Romans 10:17 say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, if you ever want to build your faith, you need to put your eyes in this book. If you ever want to grow in your faith, you need to put your eyes in this book. And that's a hard thing because Singaporeans, we live by sight a lot. All right, I have one friend who says, Rajoni, you know, we are going to sell, he's just a couple that I know, and said, we're going to sell a house, all right? And you know, the property agent said, you go and paint your house. You know, after he painted the house, the valuation went up 5,000 just because of the painting. Because Singaporeans live by sight. They say, wow, so nice are the paint. But actually, behind all the peeling, the toilet breakdown also, they never see, but, you know, just because of who. We bought a car because now we realize when you buy new cars, don't just look at the external. All right, well, we bought a car, nicely painted, everything swept clean, was like brand new, you know. But I didn't know that the engine had a hole, the battery had problems. Within 2 hours of driving out, our car had problems already. And it took 2 weeks before we demanded a refund and we lost $1,500 just in 2 weeks. Because why we look at the externals more, okay? So faith must be based on God's word. That's why if we really want our faith to grow, we must read and study the Bible. Not just read, we need to study. We need to read, we need to study the Bible. That's why I give you assignments. And one of the reasons for this whole year and next, a lot of training in the word, so that we know the word for ourselves. And I hope you take that seriously to build your faith, okay? Next one, faith steps out in obedience, okay? Hebrews 11 verse 8, that's how we read. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither where he went. True faith is not something that is just in the mind and heart. It's something that acts. I say again, this is very important because many Christians feel that, oh, just by studying God's word and praying at home, everything is fine. It's important to pray at home and study the word. But you know, faith always acts. Faith always acts. Faith always acts. Faith has to act. Many years ago, when we started Ambassador Baptist Mission, there were a few of the men and ladies said, well, I'm acting on my faith. I believe God is going to use me to do something for him. And we started Ambassador Baptist Church. And we're all going to sit and discuss how churches should be formed, but no one actually, there was one pastor who says, let's stop talking soul winning. Let's go out soul winning. Now, let's go out and evangelize. Let's stop talking about prayer. Let's go and pray. Let's get down on our knees and pray and ask God for things, okay? So faith acts out in obedience. Okay, let's turn to James chapter 2, which is one of your memory verses, James 2:26. If there are any questions, just stop me, all right? James 2:26. Okay, James 2:26, let's read together, ready? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead, okay? A body without the spirit is dead. Basically, it's lifeless. It can't do anything. There's a lot of controversy about this. Martin Luther didn't believe that this book of James chapter 2 should be in the Bible. But if you look at verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled when it says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I think I preached on this a few weeks ago, whereby I remember when Abraham believed God in Genesis 15, God saw Abraham's faith in what he said, and God counted him for righteousness. In other words, he saved. In the Old Testament, it's by faith. But 7 chapters later, the test of faith came, which is, what's the test of faith? When he had to sacrifice Isaac. That was the test of faith. What did Abraham do? You know, if you study the scripture, it's very fascinating because the Bible actually talks about what went through Abraham's mind and his heart. And act out in faith. What happened? Abraham actually believed God so much that he said, I'm just going to do what God says. I'm going to kill my son because I believe that God, if he promised me that through this son, a whole generation will come out, God can raise my son from the dead. That was what went through his mind. I'm going to kill my son. In fact, to the point that he was going to plunge the son, the knife into the heart. Okay? Does that make sense? That's faith. Faith needs to act. Many Christians today don't act. They wait and wait and wait and wait and see what happens. We need to step up by faith. But the faith must be anchored in what God said, not what we think God says. All right? So James chapter 2, verse 26 tells us, as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Actually, James, in this passage, he's not, as a Jewish preacher, he's not just, he's admonishing the Jewish believers. The Jewish believers have a lot of talk, but no action. That's why he said, you need to prove your faith. And lastly, he says, look, just as a dead body, the body is there, but there's no spirit. If your faith doesn't have that kind of actions that prove it's alive, you're no different from a corpse. Okay, you're no different from someone who has died. There's no spirit, okay? So faith steps up in obedience. I say in obedience to God's word. Bethel Baptist Church needs to be a church that steps out in obedience by faith, believing what God says and trusting Him. Okay? The next one, let's look at 11 verse 10. Hebrews 11 verse 10. The Bible says, let's read in verse 9 for context. By faith, Abraham sojourned or lived in the land of promise, which is actually the land of Canaan, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, because why? He looked for a city whose foundations, which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, when he went out from his own land into the promised land, he didn't build condominiums for himself. He didn't build houses for himself. You know what? He built tabernacles, tents, because he knows that this world is not our home. Genuine faith looks beyond this life. If all we are doing, for those who are growing old, if all we are doing is preparing for retirement, and not preparing, how my children are going to live the Christian life after this? We're not living by faith. A lot of people, Singaporeans, CPF, and our government is very smart. We have to save about 180,000, I think 60,000 in CPF, and all that kind of thing. All right? Why? To prepare for retirement so the government doesn't have to take care of you. All right? Or rather, they want you to have a more comfortable retirement. The Christians, our life is not just about retirement. I heard evangelist Ron Comfort says something which can be quite controversial, but he says we need to invest our monies and our thing. He's going to die. He's about 79 years old. Not, he's not going to die. He's still preaching. I mean, he's old age. But he says that we need to invest our inheritance in the work of God. We need to invest in the work of God, because when you leave, your money, if it goes to another house, it's going to be for someone else that doesn't live for God. What use is it? Does that make sense? We need to ask God for faith that whatever plans we make right now is for eternity. It's not just for next year. It's not just, if all we're making plans for is 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and nothing further than that, it's not faith. And you realize that every time we pray, it's always about how we're going to get there financially, making sure everything is fine. God is going to provide the needs, okay? Genuine faith looks beyond this life, okay? It looks at treasures laid up in heaven, Matthew 6:20, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I used to think it should be read, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Until the Holy Spirit taught me, no. Whatever we consider as precious in this life, that is where our heart is. It's actually a checklist. If as a Christian, all we're thinking about is, oh, that wonderful condo I'm going to have. That's where your heart is. Okay? But if you say, Lord, my heart is on missions and the souls of men that they need to be saved, that's where your heart will be. And as Christians, we need to live by faith. Okay? So as a result, this will keep us from being lukewarm or carnal. All right? Every one of us needs to be aware that our faith needs to look beyond this life. This world, we only have a short 70 years of life. But we have the rest of eternity. It doesn't make sense for us to build here and neglect the eternity. Okay? Any questions? I know this can challenge our lives because some of us are living from this world. As Pastor, I'm telling you, it's just so obvious. Because the work of God is sometimes not important. to the people of God. We need to live for eternity. This building will be burnt up. This world will be burnt up. Your degrees will be burnt up. Only what's done for Christ will last. Remember Jim Elliot? I think it was Jim Elliot who said, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's very profound. He is not a fool if he will give up what he cannot keep. And we cannot keep this life. We cannot keep our things. But you give it up so that you can gain what you cannot lose, which is eternity. Okay? Next one. Faith will be tested. Let's turn to Hebrews 11:17. Hebrews 11:17. Okay? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Faith is tested. Faith will be tested. Faith is always tested. On Friday nights, when I mentioned about faith, whenever you go through a trial, you always test your faith. It will always test your faith. Okay? Whenever you go through a trial, the first thing that people always say, I'm not coming to church. Why? Because it tests where your genuine faith is. Okay? Faith is always tested. It's tested to see if it is real, and it is tested to purify. There are two parts that God does. Firstly, he wants to see whether it is real. And then he will test to see whether it is pure. He tests it to purify it. And it is something really, really sometimes it's hard. I was talking to a brother recently, and he was just saying, wow, it's so hard to live up to the standard of the Bible. Then I told him straight, if you want to be a servant of God, you must go through the fire. If you want to be a servant of God, you must go through the fire, and God will put through the fire. Why? Because he wants to purify your faith. The trial of my faith in the ministry was when I was being sued. Okay, some of you may know that. Well, that was hard. But God sent encouragement. And God sent people who prayed. And we won. The person who sued us is now in prison. And the thing about that is, wow. But I realized one thing. I'm not being proud about this, but I think this is so real. If you ever want to be a blessed, genuine Christian, be prepared. Your faith will be tested. Because God is not interested in half-hearted Christians. He's not interested. He can't use that. He can't use that. Okay? God wants us to be strong. Therefore, faith will be tested. All right? Faith is tested as soon as an individual believes in Christ. That's why for us as believers in Christ, we must look out for new believers and support them quickly. Because they will be tested. Okay? And there is a process of testing and strengthening. Every test you do or go through is God strengthening you. All right? Just think that you're preparing for the Olympic Games. Every test, every time you go on the track and field, it is to improve your timing. It is to strengthen your muscles. It is to make you faster. It is to make you more enduring. Every trial that you go through. Okay? God is... there are some churches that teach when you are saved, everything is nice and wonderful. You don't have to worry about anything to test yourself. If we don't test ourselves, we will not grow. That's why people don't like tests. I was recently listening, I forwarded to my family about this Jewish rabbi who talked about stress. He said this. Talk about lobsters. You know lobsters? Okay. You know lobsters? Lobsters is mushy on the inside and the shell is hard on the outside. Okay? Now, the shell doesn't grow. Okay? Now, what happens if inside is growing and the shell doesn't grow? What happens is the natural process is this lobster will go into some cave, sheds off the old shell, build a bigger new shell so that the mush grows again. Because if he keeps pushing against the shell and it doesn't grow, it gets very uncomfortable. So he'll go in to the cave, it sheds the old shell, builds a bigger one so that the mush can grow. Okay? And this Jewish rabbi was saying that as a lobster does that, every time they feel uncomfortable, it is a time to grow. Well, I was very encouraged by that. Every time you feel uncomfortable, it's time to grow. In other words, you need to get alone with God, deal with whatever you deal with, By God's grace, build a bigger shell so that you can grow. So you come out with bigger lobster, and bigger lobster, and bigger lobster. Okay? Faith is tested, and it will be tested. If you look through the Bible from Genesis all the way to the end, every one of God's genuine servants is sorely tested. Always. Noah, Abraham was tested. Joseph was tested. Moses was tested. Joshua was tested. Okay, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all the prophets were tested. Jesus was tested. John the Baptist was tested. All the apostles except Judas Iscariot were tested. All of them gave their lives except John the Apostle. In fact, John the Apostle was exiled. He was tested. All the apostles were tested. All the missionaries are tested. I know personally what Brother Cloud was tested recently in whatever that happened. Brother So and Mrs. So were sharing on until they were in tears in our room and the test that they had to go through, all right, in their own church. You will be tested, but you know what? There's still faith. Why? That's genuine faith. God makes the servant of God stronger through tests. And if you ever want to be a servant of God, you must be willing to say, God, whatever fire you put me through, I'm willing to go through it. The next one, faith gives us courage. Hebrews 11 verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. All right, sometimes we read very fast, we miss out the first 3 words. By faith, Moses' parents. By faith, Moses' parents, okay? Faith gives us courage. Faith gives us courage. Life is full of fears. In Christ, but faith in Christ overcomes every fear. We don't have to fear every problem or situation because everything is in God's hands. In Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who love God, for them who are called according to His purpose. We don't have to fear for food and clothing because God will provide, and we don't have to fear for old age. Psalm 37 verse 25, the verse says, I've been young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and his seed begging bread, okay? And his seed begging bread. It's important for us to realize we don't have to worry when we grow old. If you have been living for God, God will take care of you, okay? God will take care of you. So it's important for us to realize God, faith gives us courage. And for Moses' parents, the context is this. What was the context? Pharaoh said every child, every male child would die. Moses' parents was looking, what's Moses' parents' name? Jochebed and Amram. Amram and Jochebed, right? What did they say? No way. This child belongs to God. We're not going to listen. We're not going to listen to the worldly advice of Pharaoh. By faith, it gave him courage to the point that I shared, I think last week or week before, that Jochebed, the mother of faith, put the baby Moses in the basket and push it out the River Nile. And what was so special about the River Nile? It was infested with crocodiles. That's faith. You know what I believe went through Jochebed's mind? That's my thinking. I said, Lord, this is your child. I'm trusting you to protect my baby, even though it is in a crocodile-infested River Nile. And guess what? Pharaoh's daughter, apparently, Pharaoh's daughter just happened to be bathing at the time. Bathing at the time, they were playing, I don't know whether they were playing in water, but just basically with the River Nile at that time. Because they have their own bathhouses, very luxurious. It just so happened, Pharaoh's daughter was there. No, it's not just so happened, it was God. Can I say this? When you trust God, and when God sees your favor, He's never going to leave you alone. I say that again. In my own experience with God, when you will learn to trust God, God will never leave you alone. You know why? He has proven it. If you are willing to go through the fire for me, God says, I will be in the fire with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you are willing to go through the fire for me, I will be willing to stand in the fire with you and to make sure you are safe. All right? So that is faith gives. Our faith is in a God that is faithful. And He can be trusted. Faith should give us courage and must give us courage. Okay? The next one. Just Faith makes wise choices. Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what's wrong with that? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he's grown up, he's able to make a decision, and he makes his decision by faith. He looked at Pharaoh's daughter, and if you read some of the historical accounts, Moses apparently was one of the very respected and very reputed men in Egypt during Egyptian history. Apparently, I'm not too sure whether this can be verified, he may be the Osiris. You know, have you heard Osiris in the Egyptian history? This guy was very wise, he's able to make a lot of nice, good decisions that helped Pharaoh. Many evidence seems to point to the fact that was actually Joseph. Okay, we don't know. Sorry, Moses. So at that point, I may be mixing up Joseph and Moses. Okay, but anyway, for Moses, Moses was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which means that 他可以享受荣华富贵, that means he can be in luxury. But you know what it says? No, I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to follow what the world gives to me. I'm not going to follow what the world, the money, I'm not saying money is not important, but I'm saying money is not the most important. God is more important. And so Moses says, I don't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction. Moses chose to suffer rather than enjoy. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? So that's why a lot of people today, they choose to play computer games rather than study. So they choose to enjoy rather than suffer. No, learn from Moses. Choose to suffer first. Okay, then you enjoy later. Faith makes wise choices. It was by faith that Moses made the choice to follow God, even though it will cost him everything. That's faith. That's faith. This was written in the thing, whether to follow the crowd or to follow Christ. That is a very real thing for teenagers. You have a chance. You have a choice to whether you want to follow God and say, I'm not going to participate in all that kind of vulgar language, or I'm going to follow Christ. Whether to be wholehearted for Christ or not. Whether to separate from the world or not. Whether to serve God or mammon or money. Whether to be lazy or diligent. Whether to give to God's work richly or to keep it for myself, okay? You know, if you have $1 million, what will you do with it? If you have $1 million, what will you do with it? Oh, Brother Johnny, I'm going to give it to the Lord's church, man. I'm going to make sure that half of all I have, this $1 million is going to give to the Lord's church. I'm going to support missionaries. You know, there was one pastor who said that, and then after that, another pastor said, so how much do you have now? And how much are you willing to give? You know why God sometimes don't bless us as richly? Because he knew that. Because if you're not practicing giving to God now, and God gives you a windfall, your heart will always be on the windfall, not giving to God. Because giving to God requires faith. A lot of people are holding back from God, and God is holding back blessings also. Not because he wants to, but because God says, look, you need to trust me, and then I can give to you, okay? Last one. Faith overcomes and endures. Let's look at the last passage. Oh, this is a wonderful passage. I'll just read through, and then you'll see what actually happened. Okay. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So faith overcomes. Faith overcomes. Whatever situations you go through, you can overcome. But you know what? There's another aspect of faith. Faith endures. What happens? And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of mockings, cruel mockings and scourgings. They had moreover bonds and imprisoned. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, been destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Faith has two aspects. God can help me overcome. And God has shown himself faithful in some. For example, Esther in the Bible overcame and turned the whole edict of the king, King Artaxerxes, to save the Jews. He overcame. Okay? But there are some other prophets who were not so fortunate. But you know, even faith says, I can overcome through God. But even faith will also say, even if God doesn't help me overcome, God's faith will help me to endure. Many of the first century Christians who were executed for their faith went to the, where they were burned at the stake, their people, they were burning, and they were singing praises to God. Why? Faith endures. Sometimes it's God's will for help to help us overcome by faith, but sometimes God wants us to use our faith to help learn to trust him as we endure. As we endure. Okay? So faith overcomes and faith also endures. Some receive faith to overcome life's trials, while others receive faith to endure the trials. We can have faith whether the fire is quenched or whether it burns us. Whether we're in the lion's mouth is shut or whether he eats us. Whether the jail doors are open or whether we die in jail. Paul was able to overcome some of the trials. But you know what? Eventually, Paul was executed. But he still had faith because he wasn't living for this life. If you're living for this life, you'll find that at your deathbed, there'll be a lot of regrets. But you're living for God, the future is bright, much brighter. We must trust God. We must trust God whether we are healed or whether we are not healed. Whether the house sells or not. Interesting. Whether we are saved or not. God gave us faith according to his will, and we must learn to accept his will. Because God is God. God is God. So, any questions as we finish? Any questions? I'm praying that Ambassador Baptist Church will live by faith. Now, we don't, for example, if the you're going to see our, we live by faith. Faith is living without scheming. Say, so I'm going to live by faith, but you know, how am I supposed to do that? No faith, just trusting God, taking the necessary steps God wants you to take, and then trust him. Okay, any questions? Any questions? Faith must be built on God's word. If there's no God's word, there's no faith. Or very little faith. All right? Any questions? But yeah, before I finish, let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. I just want to deal with this in the collectively because Matthew 11 verse 28. I know many of us may look at it devotionally, but we need to look at the interpretation of this passage. As I see some of you all will write it, I just want to, like, almost all had almost the same things about submission to God and all that. That's correct. But in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, I'll just go through it. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Okay? That's an invitation. Come unto me, all you that are going through difficulties, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The yoke there is interesting because Jesus is, see, the Jewish people were living under the yoke of the Pharisees. They were living under the yoke of the law. And they believed that in order to have eternal salvation, they actually have to do everything that the Pharisees say. And the Pharisees were adding a lot of ridiculous laws upon them. Like, for example, on the Sabbath day, Catherine, you're not supposed to look at the mirror. Why? Because you may see a strand of white hair and be tempted to pull it off. That's work. And if you do that, you sin. And the people have to remember all these things. And you eat fish on the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to. You can only remove meat that you are eating. But the meat that you just want to remove, just to set aside, you cannot, that's work. The Pharisees went into such detail. I'm not making this up, okay? This is in their Torah. This is in the Mishnah, I think. They are the Jewish laws. No, sorry, in the Talmud. Sorry, the Talmud, which is a Jewish law. And And I wanted to buy a Talmud, thinking it's just one volume. My friend told me it's 22 volumes, and it costs $3,000. If you want to... and he's quite learned in the Jewish law. He's a Christian, so he was sharing with me all these ridiculous things. And so the Jewish people were under that yoke, the yoke of bondage. Okay? So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Put away all these things that you think you have to do to earn God's favor. And why don't you just take what Christ... Jesus also has a yoke. It's a yoke of his commandments. And God says his commandments are not grievous. 1 John chapter 5. His commandments, when we obey it, actually sets us free. Did you know that? Example, which would you rather live by? Trusting God or worry about your finances? Trusting God. It sets you free, knowing that God is going to provide. Does that make sense? Okay, which would you rather live by? Anger and taking vengeance or forgiveness? Which yoke do you want? Of course, Jesus' yoke, because once we forgive and live by Christ's yoke, Lord, I'll forgive, it sets me free. That's why God says, take my yoke and learn of me, for I meek and lowly heart, ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. Does it make sense? Okay. As a Christian, sometimes we are bothered by the things of this world, and we think we have to cater to society. No, you got to cater. The Lord says, why don't you just obey me? Like that forgiveness thing. Why do you have to take vengeance? Why don't you just forgive? And we say, Lord, I'm just going to forgive you and take your yoke upon me. You are meek and lowly. You are humble, and I'm just going to follow you. And once you forgive, Christ sets you free. Does that make sense? Because for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He did not say that doing it is easier. Doing sometimes can be hard because it means that we have to surrender our selfishness, our pride, our anger. But when we obey God, God's yoke is always the easy one because he sets us free. All right? Okay? So I just want to address that because a lot of the people, it's good because then I can correct some of these thoughts as of the scriptures so that when you actually learn it, you know, okay, this is what Christ means. It's okay to just put in your thoughts because that's how the Lord is working with you. Hopefully, it'll help us to have a deeper understanding of the scriptures, all right? What Jesus was referring to. Ken? Okay, any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer, right? Then after that, you can hand up whatever you need to hand up. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you. I pray that as a church, you help us to live by faith. I pray for someone who may be struggling with living faith. I ask you, Lord, that on their daily lives, they'll be willing to surrender areas of their life they need to surrender to you so that they can grow in Christ, Lord. So, Father, thank you for what you're going to do. Teach us to live by faith. And for one person who doesn't have even saving faith, the faith that will assure them a place in heaven, forgiveness of sins, repentance, turning away, Lord, from that sin, and then having a new life in Christ. Father, I pray for those who are in that category, that, Lord, you will help them to come to a place of saving faith. Before, Lord, they can even have living faith. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.